Let's open up to Luke chapter 6. As we continue on through the book of Luke, we're going to be looking at verses 27 through 36 and looking today at the principles of the kingdom. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not take, or rather ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from which you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Father, you are a merciful God. And Lord, this morning as we settle in, Lord, we're just enjoying the sweetness of your Spirit and God, the ministry of your Spirit to our hearts. God, we ask now you would continue that by your word. God, you know the needs that are here this morning. God, you know who you've brought, why you've brought them, and you know what you want to say this morning. And Lord, I ask now, God, that you would bring your word, quicken it, Lord, to our minds, quicken it to our hearts, and teach us, Lord, as we now look at the principles of your kingdom and Lord, how different they are from the principles of this world. God, let us grasp them. And Lord, let us absorb them. And Lord, by your grace and by your Spirit, let us live them. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, you ever been in a situation where somebody says, or rather you feel like you're from a different planet? Maybe you've been invited somewhere. Maybe you feel out of place, whatever the case might be. And you just don't fit in. It's like, I don't belong here. Somehow I'm not really a part of this group. Somehow I'm not a part of this situation. That's really what this passage is going to be about today. Because as we look at the principles of the kingdom, truly, you as believers in Jesus Christ, you don't fit in down here. The Bible says that you are a sojourner passing through, that your time here is limited. You have a specific reason for being here. You have a specific purpose for being here, but you don't belong here. You're like an alien. You are, in the world's eyes, the little green man from Mars. That is, if you're living according to the principles of the kingdom. Now see, there's two ways to live. We can either live according to the principles of the world, and if we do that, you're going to blend right in. Nobody's going to know the difference. But if you live according to the principles of the kingdom, which we're going to be looking at today, you're going to stick out. And when you stick out, people are going to know why you stick out. You need to have an answer for them. But see, that's what Jesus came to do. He didn't come just to blend in with the world system, with the world's flow. He came to turn the world back the direction it should be. You know, it's interesting. They accused the disciples of turning the world upside down. I would say really what happened was God used the disciples to turn this world right side up. And that's what God is going to use each of you to do if you live according to these kingdom principles that we're going to be looking at today. Now, again, there are certain principles that the world operates by, and there are certain principles that God's kingdom operates by. And as we look at these and examine these, you're going to see that if you live by these, as I said, you're going to be going right in the flow of the world coming the other direction. You've seen the picture of the fish swimming upstream with everybody else coming down. You're going to be that fish that's going that way. But that's the principles that the Lord gives, and that's what he's supposed to, or rather how we're supposed to live. Now, remember last week, we saw the Lord come down the mountain. And when he came down the mountain, he came down, he picked his 12 apostles, and he began to teach who? His disciples. Again, this wasn't a teaching for the world, and we need to make a note of that right now. Before we even continue on here on the Sermon on the Mount and or the Sermon on the Plain, if you will, we need to realize that he's not talking to the world in general. So that when we read these principles, we have to realize the Lord is not saying the world needs to live this way. Yes, wouldn't it be great that the world would? And when Jesus Christ comes back, the world will. But right now, the bottom line is the only ones that have the ability to live by this particular teaching is the believer. Because it's only done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we get into it, you're going to be saying, you're right, there's no way this can be done. Except by the power of the Holy Spirit. So understand, when Jesus came down and he started this teaching, he said, I'm speaking to my disciples. Remember we saw last week again, there in verse 20, he said, then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples. And again, I have that underlined in my Bible. I encourage you to do that. Why? To realize this is for you. Now again, those in the world that say, I'm living by the Sermon on the Mount, or I'm living by the Ten Commandments, they don't realize that that is impossible without the grace of God. It can't be done. But for the believer, that's the standard that God sets for us. Again, not attainable in our flesh 100%, but the standard that God gives us, the principles of the kingdom. And so as the Lord is going through the Sermon on the Mount, remember what he's doing is establishing these principles. Here's what he's saying. The world has their system. The world lives that way. Believers, here's how you're to live. Here's what I want you to do. They're going to do that. I want you to do this. They're going to do that. I want you to do this. And our natural response, trust me, you'll know this as we go over it. Our natural response, my natural response, your natural response is to do exactly the same thing the world does. I don't think we have to say that. You know, the world cuts me off. I want to cut them off. They get me. I want to get them back. Sometimes people think, wow, the law was so hard. The Bible says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. God gave that as an act of mercy because he knows us. If he hadn't said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, we'd have taken out both eyes and knocked all their teeth out. And God said, I'm going to put a limit on it by my grace and by my mercy, because that's how we are. We're creatures of, in our natural realm, we're creatures of revenge. So as we go through these principles of the kingdom, realize it's for the believer. Another title I almost called this was God's Impossible Commands. Because these are not impossible again for us, but again for the world, these are impossible. And unless we are walking by the Spirit, it's impossible for us as well. And here's the good news. What does the Bible say? All things are possible through Christ who strengthens me, which means in order for us to enact these principles, in order for us to live these principles, we're going to have to let God's Spirit do it in us. So the principles of the kingdom. Now, the first section we get to here in verse 27, the Lord gives us principles. And if you're taking note, we're going to be going over some principles. The first one we're going to be looking at here, or rather the first group of principles, is how to treat your enemies. Notice what he says. But I say to you who hear. Now, note that. I want to first of all stop there. I say to you who hear. The Lord said that on a regular basis. I say to you who hear. Why? Because oftentimes, even as we were discussing earlier, we hear, but we don't hear. And the Lord is saying, listen, I'm talking about putting on your spiritual ears. It's time to tune everything else out. It's time to focus in on the Lord. It's time to put on your spiritual ears. And for those who hear, it means those who have willing ears and those who have spiritual ears. If you don't, today's teaching will have no effect. If you do, God's word will sink in. But notice the first principle he gives here. Number one, he says, love your enemies. Now that doesn't compute. Love your enemies. What does the world say to do? The world says, hate your enemies. The Lord came along and said, no, we need to love our enemies. God raised the standard. As a matter of fact, the Bible even talks about certain things to do with our enemies and these kind of things. As far as the law is concerned, Jesus came along. He didn't even agree with the law as much. He agreed with the law, but he made the law harder. I've heard people say that Jesus Christ contradicted the law of God or the Old Testament by his teachings. He didn't contradict it. He made it harder. And now the Lord says right here, step number one, rather principle number one, love your enemies. Now, it's interesting. The word enemies here means this. It means those that are hostile toward you. Those that are hostile. So who are you to love? Well, you're to love those that are hostile toward you. Now, does that just go against your grain or what? It goes against mine. And yet, these, again, are the principles of the kingdom. As I said, it has to be done supernaturally. And he ups the ante here because notice this. Well, you won't see it there in the original. But the word he says when he says love your enemies, guess what word that is? Agape. It's agapeo. What it means is with a self-sacrificing love, putting them before yourself, putting them preferred before you. That's tough. And again, something that requires a choice and can only come by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's written in the present active, which means this. You're to do it now and you're to do it in action. That's how you love your enemies. You do it now and you do it in action. And there's different ways to do that. We're going to see in a moment. One way is to pray. But sometimes God may call on you to do something that's a little bit more than that. A while back, Tracy and I contracted someone to do a job for us that lasted for several months. And through the process of those months, we had quite the interesting time. We were lied to on a regular basis. We, I believe, were cheated. By the time the job was done, there was a big problem still remaining that never did get finished or never did get fixed. And yet the natural response in my heart is not to love my enemies. The natural response in my heart is lawsuit. That's the natural response of us. And I'm not saying there's not a time. Obviously, there is a time where God has given us the governing authorities and where legal action is something that can be taken in certain instances, whether it's to protect your family or if there's a criminal on the loose and you want to have a criminal put away. There's a time for that. But there's a time when we're to love our enemies when God will say, you know what, listen, here's what everybody else would do. I want you to do something different. And God began to put those people on my heart and I began to pray for them. And as I began to pray for them, God said, now get them something. Buy them a gift. And I said, God, this is obviously not you. God wouldn't let it go. And I'm telling you, I struggled with this over probably 2 to 3 months. But God kept bringing it up to my face saying, look, you need to buy them something. You need to show them unconditional love. They have made themselves your enemy by cheating you, by lying to you, by leaving you hanging in a situation that they never did finish and get right. Now I want you to show them my love because I love them. And I want you now to be the instrument of that. Because what they're used to when they do this kind of thing, they're used to people yelling at them and having a lawyer call them. So I want you to do something different. So I went out and I did. And I got them some gift certificates to some restaurant. I drove to the restaurant 3 times before I finally bought them. The first 2 times it was closed and I looked for some other place and I thought, well, Lord, maybe, you know, I'm not supposed to do this. So I left. And finally, the last time I was able to get a hold of somebody and get them the certificates, I had a certain place in mind I wanted to send them. And I just sent a note in there that said, God's keeping you on my heart. And the Lord loves you. And I put John 3:16 on there and left them the gift certificates. And I'm sure that their jaw probably still is not back up and closed yet. But why do I say that? To tell you what a swell guy I am? No, to tell you that it was a great struggle for me to do that. Because my flesh did not want to do it. And even after I did it, I started thinking, man, why did I do that? I'm telling you, after I sinned, I thought, what a dummy. Because my flesh was still fighting what God was telling me to do. You see, the way the world works and the way the kingdom works are two entirely different animals. They go exactly contrary to each other. And the Lord says here, love your enemies. It's something that you need to do in action. It's something that you need to do in heart. And notice he goes on here after the first principle. He says, love your enemies. Number two, he says, do good to those who hate you. Now note this. That's the second principle. Do good to those who hate you, not just those who don't like you, but those who hate you. And the word here means those who literally actively pursue you in their hatred. Note that. The person that runs you down and won't leave you alone and is dogging you every week, that's the one that you're to love. That's the one that you're to show God's love to. Why? And I believe, guys, here's one of the reasons why nobody else is going to do it to a person like that. You see, God has put his son in your heart. He's given you a light to shine. And when that person is walking around being just royally rude to everybody in the world, how do you think they're treating him? They're treating him royally rude back. But when they come to you and they be royally rude, maybe that's a new thing. I've never heard that. Royally rude. A little R&R for them, whatever it might be. The point is, listen, they're expecting you to come back. What does the Bible say? A gentle answer turns away wrath. Guys, man is not won over by the wrath of man. Man is won over by the love of God. And again, these kingdom principles, they go directly contrary. Remember Jesus on the cross. What have they done to him? You know what they've done. And yet while he's hanging on the cross, what did he say? Father, get him. No, he said, Father, forgive them. But they don't know what they're doing. These people that are treating you this way, and maybe you've got one right now in your mind. Maybe you're the one here today that's been treating someone that way. But you've got that person right now in your mind. You know what the Lord is saying? He's saying, listen, you need to love them. You need to love them because nobody else is going to. And how else are they going to be brought into the kingdom? So Jesus from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. See, they don't know what they're doing either. Now, here's the hard part. Here's the hard part, guys. You ready? Just because you love them doesn't mean they'll love you back, ever. Well, if I show them this love, I'll buy them gift certificates. They'll feel so bad about a foot of water in our backyard. They'll come and redo it. They're going to do all that. No, they're not. No, they'll probably never talk to you again. But you have done what the Lord has asked you to do by reaching out in love above and beyond what your flesh wants to. And I'll tell you, it takes a choice because your flesh is going to battle it. That's why the world can't live by these principles. And that's why when you do, they look at you and they say, you're nuts. What's wrong with you? It's impossible. You're crazy. Don't you understand how this thing works? Yeah, the Lord says, I do understand how it works. They need me. And it's going to take you to show them. You know, the world says, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. The Bible says, when they stab you in the back, massage theirs. That's hard. That doesn't go with our natural grain. He says, love those, your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Notice this, verse 28. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Now, here's your next principle if you are taking down notes. Number three, bless those who curse you. Notice, once again, flies in the face of everything that we do naturally. Again, it's in that present active form, which means this. Bless them now and do it in action. It takes action to be a blessing. It takes action to love. It's not just a good thought. It's something that you do and something that you follow through with. Now, the Lord says, bless those who curse you. My natural desire, again, and maybe yours is the same. Yeah, Lord, I'll bless them, all right. I'll bless them out. That's my natural desire. God says, no, you need to bless them. Now, again, I'm not saying there's not a time for a rebuke. There is a time for a rebuke. There is a time when there's that confrontation that needs to be there in the name of the Lord. This is talking about, and understand these principles, again, these are for the believer, and they are for individual issues of discretion. individual incidents of discretion. I want to give this balance. As we go through this, does that mean that somebody comes and they steal everything in my home and I know they're a crook, I know who they are, that I don't get the police after them and take action? No, I need to do that, because if I don't do that, they're going to go to somebody else's home and destroy their things as well. They need to be stopped. And God, again, has given us the governing authorities and society and the legal system to do the proper thing when the proper thing needs to be done. Jesus is referring to everyday life with everyday people, the way your neighbor, the way your brother, the way that people around you treat you. And how do we know that? Because the scripture lays out clearly that we are to be responsible to stop those that are criminals and those that are rapists and those that are murderers. That is scriptural. So the Lord is not reversing that. The Lord is simply saying, listen, you've got a lot of people day to day that are going to really upset you. You've got a lot of people in regular life that are really going to do things that hurt your feelings and do whatever. Here's what I want you to do. Everybody else is going to react the same way to them that they're reacting to you. You love them. You bless them. You pray for them. So blessing those who curse you. You know, the Lord, it's interesting. I was talking with Tracy just this last week. God allows me, I think, to go through a lot of these things right before I teach them so that I can get up here and it's real. But in the last couple of weeks, it's one of these things where, you know, you come back to your car and there's the ding. There's the thing, right? There it is. And you got the thing in your car, and that's bad enough. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but it's happened to me twice this week. They did it while I was in the car. And I'm sitting in this church parking lot, not this one. And I'm sitting in this church parking lot, and this lady with all of her kids, and they get, and it's like, it hits the car. So I was like, and it's like shocking. You think, man, that probably put a big dent. Didn't even say a word to me. They all saw it. They all recognized it, got out, just kind of walked on past me and left. Didn't say a word. And sure enough, it did make a place. And I'm thinking, Lord, you know, what is my, I know my proper response here. Get them. No. No, my proper response, you know, is just to pray for them. Just to pray that God would begin to move in their hearts, you know. And I didn't have an opportunity to share a witness. Well, that happens. And it kind of goes by. And I'm thinking, all right, let that go. No big deal. A couple days ago, either yesterday, day before, again, I'm sitting in this parking lot and this guy gets out. He gets out. He opens his car door. The car door hits my car. Right here, it hits the mirror and the there it is. I'm thinking, oh man, it happened again. Lord, that's twice in a week. Well, then he's got to do a lot of things in his car while it's touching mine. And I hear it as he's getting his coffee and moving and doing the, and it's going, and I'm sitting there looking at him through the window. And I'm going, is he going to get just looking at him? Thinking, what do I do? And it's one of those where you think, okay, I'll run, excuse me, can I just kind of hold your door back so it doesn't do that? Or maybe I should keep thinking he's going to stop. This goes on like, I mean, it seems like forever. Gets out, closes the door, walks off, and I'm just sitting there going, Lord, you've got something in this for me. And I know it's not kill everybody. What are you doing, Lord, in my heart? And then it's this passage this week, he said, Mark, there are those that are going to do things that are going to offend you and they're going to hurt you. And sometimes what they do is going to cost you money. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? You know, are you more concerned about your crazy car door and some guy scraping the paint off, or where he's going to spend the rest of eternity? And I begin to pray for him. Again, he left, and I sat there in shock too long to even think about jumping out and sharing with him. You know, excuse me, I'm the guy who used to ruin his car. I'd like to share the good news with you. It probably would have been very effective. I don't know. But the point is that, listen, when that happens, what does God want us to do? I'm not saying that that means that we're not responsible and that we don't take care of our things and that kind of stuff. But the point is that we need to realize that God has a much higher call for us, a much higher place and place for us to be. And that is, we're not to deal with the world the way the rest of the world deals with them. We're to deal with them the way the Lord would and give them God's love and God's goodness. And he says, you know, he says, hey, bless those who curse you. Pray for those. Notice this now. It's one thing to pray for your family and your friends. Notice what he says. The next principle here, pray for those who spitefully use you. Now, it's bad enough to pray for somebody that uses you. But somebody that spitefully uses you, guys, this is the worst of the worst. Think of the person right now that's been the worst of the worst to you in your life. Right now, everybody in this room probably has one. You know what the Lord says to do in the kingdom principles here? You need to pray for them. You need to lift them up to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to listen. Lord, I want you to bless them. I want you to minister to them, Lord. I want you to know, show them how much you love them. And I want you to make my heart right toward them as well. It's hard to do. But again, how can we do it? It's only done by the principles of the kingdom. Again, pray for those who spitefully use. It's something, again, that doesn't come natural. But now, what is the benefit of that? Note the benefit. It does two things. When you begin to pray for those that have spitefully used you, what does it do? Number one, it softens and keeps your heart soft so that you don't grow bitter. See, the bad thing about having a grudge against somebody else is that they probably are sleeping fine tonight. But you're laying up, gritting your teeth, going, and there's, who's suffering in that scenario? And so the Lord says, I would not that you'd suffer. Listen, you need to be free in this area. Pray for them. And as I begin to pray for this that I was sharing you earlier, these that I was praying for, God began to soften my heart, which made something possible that in the natural realm you would never normally do. So we begin to pray. It keeps our hearts soft, number one. Secondly, it keeps them before God's throne so that they might be saved and forgiven, that God can minister to them. Now notice he goes on. More principles. Look at verse 29. Doesn't get any better, I promise, guys. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other one to him also. I remember hearing about a guy that shared one time. He said, you know what? I'd read that. I was a new believer. I'd read that. A guy hit me on one cheek, and I stood there. He hit me on the other one, then I decked him. Because I'd already used both cheeks up. I don't think that's what the Lord's getting at here. You need to understand that striking on the cheek in the Middle East was one of the worst insults you could give someone. The only other worst insult in the Middle East that I know of is spitting in their face, and that's pretty bad anywhere. But striking on the cheek, what is the Lord saying here? The Lord is saying, look, if somebody heaps up insult on you, don't be afraid of another, nor retaliate. What's your natural response when somebody insults you? I know what mine is. I know what mine does. Let me tell you about that guy. You said that about me? Let me tell you about him. How much better just to say, God, I need your grace, to say, you know what? I'm sorry he said that. And just move on. Again, these are principles that don't come naturally. They come by God's Spirit. And again, I want to note this too, and this is important because, again, this is not teaching passivism in the sense of self-defense. Somebody breaks into your home and they're trying to hurt your family. It doesn't mean that you sit there and let them punch you around. It doesn't mean that at all. The Lord is not talking in context of self-defense and or what is right. The Lord is talking about, in this context here, insults, where people just attack you, whether it be verbally, and yes, indeed here, an actual strike on the cheek, because that's what they did to insult each other in that day in the Middle East. Now, notice the next thing he says here, after he says, don't let them, as they strike you, don't strike them back. Don't let the insult go so deep that you insult back. But he says, and from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Now notice that. What is the cloak? Well, the cloak was this outer garment they wore. It's what you wore on the outside. It would typically slide over the head and it would cover your whole body. It was your outer cloak. It was the most expensive piece of clothing that you had. Then you had the inner garment, if you will, the tunic, and that's what we call today the undergarments. And what the Lord is saying is if somebody steals or takes your outer garment, somebody takes your clothes off the back, give them your undergarments. I mean, I get this picture of a guy, you know, grabbing your jacket or grabbing your shirt, you're running down the street and tackling, oh, gotcha! Here, you forgot something. The principle is this, it's like, you know what? Listen. Don't be so tied to earthly things. Don't hold on so much to the earthly things that, you know, you're going to be fighting and struggling with people. It's how to treat other people. Now, notice he goes on here. He says this, if they take away your cloak, give them your tunic as well. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. Here's the seventh principle. Notice this. When people borrow something from you and they don't give it back, there's nothing wrong in a friendly reminder. That's not what he's talking about. But if they willingly take it and you know they're not going to give it back, he says, let them have it. Now, again, what's our natural response? I'll let them have it, all right. He says, no, let them have it. It's not worth it. Show them my love. Show them my care. Show them the kingdom. And again, this goes against everything that we are. Notice, give to him who asks of you and takes away your goods and do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, do also to them likewise. Again, the golden rule. What you want men to do to you, do to them as well. And notice this. A lot of the other spiritual teachers, if you will, taught this in a negative form. They would say, what you don't want men to do to you, don't do to others. What Jesus taught was it was a positive. It was an action. What you want men to do to you, do to them. That's, you take action. And again, this whole thing is lined out with action. It's saying, you know what? Take action in this thing. Don't just be passive. Let it be something that you do that is not just taking it, if you will, when you're done wrong, but stepping forward and making it right. Notice he goes on here in verse 32 and says this, really 32 through 34, he says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners and receive just as much back. Notice what the Lord is saying here. He's saying, basically, guys, look, you need to give to them, not expecting back. You need to, if you give to others and you expect to get something back, you're just like the world. Doesn't the world do that as well? He's saying, but what about those who are in need and you just hand it out and you don't expect back? Remember the Lord said, when you give a feast, he said, invite the poor. Invite the needy. Invite those that can't repay you. Why? So that when you do that, your reward in heaven will be great. See, where's our goal, guys? Where are our eyes to be? Our eyes are to be on the kingdom, not on this earth. And so the principles of this world do not apply to us. So when someone does these things to us, we do a whole different thing back to them. Now, it's interesting here when he gets into these other principles. Notice the next principle here is basically loving the unlovable. Notice he says this in verse 32. He says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. The word credit here is the word charis. It's the word for grace in the scriptures. And what it means is, if you just do back to those who do good to you, how is that showing grace? How is that ministering to those that need to be ministered to that don't know God's grace? So he's saying you need to show God's grace in a way that they'll understand that it's different from the rest of the world. Treat them differently. Let them see a higher standard in you. Now he goes on really here in verse 35. Again, he kind of sums the whole thing up in talking about mercy. Notice what he says in verse 35. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And note this, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the highest, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Notice this. This is why we're to do these unnatural things. You might be saying, oh, wait a minute, that's great. Okay, we're supposed to do these things, but why should we do these things? Here he gives the reason why. Notice this, because our reward is great in the kingdom, and we're going to show the world that we are God's children. Guys, it's to be a witness. Again, if you're not a witness to those that are evil and wicked, who's going to be? Nobody else is going to be. They're going to treat you. If we treat them the same way the world does, they're going to see the same thing back in Jesus Christ, because we as believers represent him. Now notice this. First, he says you'll have great reward. Here's what we need to understand. Our payday is coming. Our payday is not down here. Our payday is in the kingdom. So we don't live for our payday now. And secondly, we are to be like God because that's what he is like. God gives his grace to the wicked and the unwicked. Like father, like son. Notice he says at the end of 35, for he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Note this about God. You want to notice some characteristics about God? Notice what he says. He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. What does unthankful mean? Well, it means basically just receiving without any acknowledgement. Now guys, note this. The earthly beauty, jobs, family, all the things that life gives, who gave that? God did. And yet sometimes we take that for granted, don't we? Listen, the unbeliever always takes that for granted. They believe that they deserve the sunlight. They believe that they deserve to breathe the air. They believe that they deserve a job. As a matter of fact, many people believe today they deserve even more than what they don't deserve anything, but they believe they deserve even more than what God gives. The point is this, they're unthankful. How does God treat the unthankful? He loves them. How are we to treat the unthankful by God's principles? We love them. Again, I don't know about you guys, but this goes directly against the grain of everything I'm made of. But the Lord says, you need to do it because that's what I'm like. I love the unthankful. And notice this. He doesn't just love the unthankful. What's the next thing? He loves those that are evil. Wow. I tend to think that probably there's some that the Lord doesn't love. And he loves most people, but certainly he can't love that person. And he gives the same blessings on them. You know, the Bible says that God blesses the unthankful and the evil just like he blesses us. The guy that stole somebody's goods last night, he's enjoying the same sunshine and air that we're enjoying today. Why? Because God wants to draw him in. God wants to see him come to himself, and God wants to save him. And notice the last thing he says here in verse 36. He says, therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Here's the bottom line foundation of all of it. Why do we follow the kingdom principles? Why do we apply the kingdom principles? Why do we ask the Lord to help us to live the kingdom principles? Because God is a God of mercy. And by living the kingdom principles, what do we show others? Mercy. Mercy and grace. That's the whole message of the Lord. Mercy and grace. It's the foundation. It's got to be there. God's merciful. He requires us to be merciful. And we say, why? Well, again, because not only merciful, but guys, God knows their future. And so do we. You know, it was interesting. We were talking just the other day. It's one thing to see somebody that's living in evil and see somebody that's living in wickedness. It's entirely another thing to realize that if they don't repent, where they're going to spend the rest of eternity. And that's where our heart of mercy has got to come in. See, our natural response is get them. They deserve what they're getting. God's response is, yeah, you can get them. And yes, there should be justice, if you will, in the sense of society. But what about eternity? They're going to stand before me forever. Or rather, they're going to stand before me and I'm going to determine where they're going to be forever. And guys, that's the mindset we got to have. Listen, when the guy comes up and dings your car, when the job is left undone or done badly, when somebody says something to you that is insulting and hurts your feelings, you've got to remember, yes, if it's a believer, you pray for them, that God will convict them and they'll repent. But if it's an unbeliever, you've got to realize, rather than being angry and wanting to get them back, listen, where are they going to spend the rest of eternity? What's going to happen to them forever? And then you begin to get a heart of compassion. Lord, have mercy on them. I don't want to see them go forever separate from you, apart from the kingdom. And that's where the kingdom principles come in. So, again, as we work through this particular passage, what does the Lord do? He challenges us. He says, here's how the world's going to tell you to live. Here's how I'm going to tell you to live. But now the only way you're going to be able to do it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. The question is, are we living by the kingdom's principles or are we living by the world's principles? You know, the answer really has two different meanings. Either we are saved and living by the world's principles because we're participating in the world, or we are unsaved and living by the world's principles because that's all we know and that's all we have the ability to do. The question for you is, which one are you, or are you living by the kingdom principles this morning? I want to say, if you're a believer and you're living by the kingdom principles, that's awesome. That's a move of God's Spirit. That's done by the Holy Spirit. But I want to say this again. If you're a believer here today and you're not living by the kingdom principles, realize it's not going to be easy to do it. But as you ask God to give you the grace and give you the mercy to do it, God's going to help you to do it. And God's going to give you the power and the ability to do it. And I also want to say, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord, you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, and you read these, then now you can see why Christians are looked at like little green men. Because this is what the Lord tells us to do. We don't respond the same way the rest of the world responds. We respond differently. The Lord said this, and I'll wrap it up with this. He said, it's better to take a loss. I'll put it in my own words. It's better to take a loss and be a witness for the kingdom than to be right and get back what you should have. And yet, what is our natural response? You know what? No, I'm going to get back what I deserve. The Lord says, lay it down. Live by the kingdom principles. So we're challenged this week. Living by the kingdom principles. I think even going farther than the person that maybe leaves the job undone or scratches your car or does whatever it might be, then you might be praying for opportunities to share, to get out and say, you know what? Hey, listen, has anybody ever shared the Lord with you? And just begin to carry on a conversation. They know what they've done. You know what they've done. Why are you showing that grace? Why are you showing them that love? Because Jesus Christ asked us to do it. But again, guys, it can only be done by the power of the Spirit. Let's ask God to do that in our hearts even now. Let's pray. Father, as we look at the kingdom principles here that you've lined out in Scripture, Father, they are so contrary to everything that we believe or feel naturally. Lord, you tell us to love our enemies. Our desire is to chase down our enemies and get revenge. Lord, you tell us to bless those that curse us. And yet, Lord, at the same time, God, we don't want to bless them at all. Lord, that's not our natural response. But Lord, you've asked us to do that as your followers. And even as you stood there and taught your followers that day, today, Lord, you stand here teaching your followers right now to follow the kingdom principles. And so, Lord, I pray you would help us to do it. Father, I pray right now for us as believers in this room. God, by your grace and by your mercy, help us, Lord, to be able to live by your principles and not the principles of the world. God, help us to be able to love those that do us wrong. And Lord, to do it in action. And Lord, I pray that you would use that to draw them to yourself. But Lord, I want to pray too for anybody here this morning that doesn't know you. Lord, they've never met you. They've never given their life to you. They've never given their heart to you. Father, I pray that right now, as they see what your principles are like and they realize, who in the world could do that? Nobody could do that. God, it is true. We know no one could do that except by your power and by your Spirit. And I pray that you would let them know that not only will they be able to do these things by your power and by your Spirit, but Lord, that you love them and you died for them even when they were living in their wrong state with you, Lord. And we know your word says that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. And Lord, there may be some here today that right now have never accepted you in their heart. And I just ask that right now, Lord, that you would move in their heart and that they would now ask you into their heart, give their lives to you, Lord, and not only learn about the principles of the kingdom and receive the power to use these principles, but Lord, much more importantly, to enter the kingdom and to be a part of it. Lord, we thank you, God, for your faithfulness and your grace and your goodness. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.